he should be fearing what will happen to him as far as akhirat is concerned. So the quality of fear should be more when a person is young, when a person is energetic, when a person is still healthy. And as a person is getting older and he's getting, health is getting worse, person is getting closer towards more from the outward signs, then a person should build up in his time more hope. More hope he should have. So that's why he says, Al-Imanu bin al-Khawfi wal-Raja. Iman is between fear and hope. So this is what is meant. As the person is getting older now, he's getting more hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the clemency, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more hope as far as akhirat is concerned. So therefore you find a beautiful balance in the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So under this chapter, when a person loses hope of life, what should he need? And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, قالت سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو مستند إلي يقول اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني وألحقني بالرفيق الأعلى متفق عليه. It's a beautiful dua. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is explaining that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in his last illness, that when he was very, very close to death, one of the last du'as that he made was this du'a. One of the last words that he even said was these words. So she explaining that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was supporting himself against me to take some type of support. So in other words, showing that how close she was to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here also we find many people, they criticize Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa na'udhu billah. But look at that, Allah Pak chose him to be with her at his last moments also. What a great personality she was, Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And another thing we learn from this words of her, wa huwa mustanidun ilayya, he was taking support against me, was that she couldn't have missed his words. He was so close to her that she could hear the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she is relating this hadith. So it's not coming from third or fourth source, coming directly from her. So anyway, she's explaining that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this dua: Allahumma ghfir li warhamni, O Allah subhanahu wa taala, forgive me and have mercy upon me. So Ulama explained that even at this last moment, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua of maghfirat. Yet he was masoom. His whole life was given without the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and to have mercy. To show us that how much we need to make dua of maghfirat, how much we have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he's asking Allah Pak for mercy. And Ulama explained that the shan of a person who is so close, who has such a high level of ruhaniyat, automatically it comes in him that I didn't do as I'm supposed to do. So that type of guilt is there always in the mind. When a person has got that high level of ruhaniyat, then I'm supposed, for example, I'm supposed to read this namaz in a certain condition. I haven't read this namaz in this condition. Therefore, after namaz, the person is encouraged to make istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. How I'm supposed to read, not that he made a guna now by reading salah, he's asking, making istighfar, but how I'm supposed to do it, I didn't do it. So here the dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, right at the end of his life, a life full of obedience, but that thought that how I ought to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ought to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that high level, I haven't done it. At that level, I have done it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this condition of mine, last condition, Allahumma ghfir li warhamni, Allah forgive me, have mercy upon me. Wa alhiqni bir rafiq al-a'la. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, join me with the highest companion. So Rama explained something very beautiful from here. Is this quality of having good company such an important thing, that even at the last moment, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking for good companion. And even in akhirat also, is asking that Allah Pak, give me a good companion. Give me that high companion. Ulama explained, why is so much emphasis on good company? It's because in a person has got good company, in a short while that good company can influence him towards good. And take the best youngster from the best home, and leaving for a short while in bad company, and that same good person will become a bad person in the wrong company. Company is such a thing that Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would say that more than the talim of our students and the education of our children, we would worry who's their friends and who's their company. That worried us more. It's not which school they were going to, what standard of education at that school, but who are their friends? Are their friends good people? Are their friends people that will take them closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take them closer towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That worried us more than the education even of our children. So this shows how important it is for good company. There's an incident with Hazrat Al-Qamar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Al-Khara alayhi, he was the student of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So he was staying in Kufa, and he traveled and he went to Sham, Syria at that time. When he went there, He read two rakats of namaz and he made dua. First dua he made, Allahumma yassir li jalis and saliha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me good company. Give me a good companion. Can you imagine, travel so far, he came to a new town, new area. He's not asking, Allah Pak, show me good business contacts. Give me good, show me people that will assist me as far as my worldly matters are concerned. First dua is making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me a good company. Give me a good companion. So he says, I went and sat there in the majlis, or in that place where the people were sitting in the masjid. And shortly a person, an old person came and sat next to me. I asked the people, who's this person that came here to sit next to me? He said, this is Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu. So then he explains, and then they ask him who he is. And he said, I'm from Kufa. So immediately Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, being such a great sahabi, this was the style of sahaba, they would think nothing of themselves. He told him that you're coming from Kufa, there's such a great personality there. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is there. And what are you talking about taking benefit and asking for good companion? You got such a good company on that side, and yet you're coming to ask me, are you making dua for a good company here? But this was their style, that they would divert any type of attention from themselves. This was their thing, the main concern when they would travel and go overseas, when they would go to different places, that who is my company? Am I moving in good company or am I moving in bad company? And from the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today we learn, even when a person is making dua for akhirat, ask for good company even on that side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Just one quick explanation, that Rafiq al-A'la, who is referring to? Ulama say it's referring to, could refer to few things. One is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asking for pious company on that side, just pious people. The other is asking for the company of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The third explanation is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking for the highest companion. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking for the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم صل على توفيق ومن عمل سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.